I want to welcome you. I'm Kathleen Pearl. I'm going to do a different kind of teaching, one that I haven't done in this fashion before. So please bear with me as I go through it. I welcome you. The name of this is called Sea of Blood. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are the God that opens dreams and visions, and you give counsel and you give interpretation and you give wisdom if we ask it, and a spirit of understanding. And so, Lord, I'm asking for all these things to flow in counsel and prophetic revelation over what you are opening up and revealing in this hour. I praise you and I worship you for this. Because you are the most highly exalted God. There is no other God, and we worship you alone, and your son Yeshua, whom you sent as the atoning sacrifice to save us from our sins, and your Ruach Kodesh to lead us into holiness and truth. We thank you and praise you for this. Sea of Blood. Why did I call this Sea of Blood? Well, this past week, I had a dream. It was almost a night vision, and I saw a very fierce warrior face, a young man, and it was interesting. That was interesting. Next, I saw culture beginning to disintegrate. I don't know how I knew this. I just knew it. Then I was in the high seas, out in the oceans, and it was very stormy, and the waves were big troughs, and they went really high. And when I looked into the sea, it was blood. There was blood in the sea. And I woke up, and I was troubled by this, and so I recorded it. And then the next day, I began to pray over it, and I was quickened to Revelation 16, where there was outpourings. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." And the first bowl the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And of course, there are a lot of strange kind of lesions and boils and Mergollon's disease that are happening now, not to mention melanoma and skin cancers and these kind of things. I don't know how prolific they are. It's hard to tell. But then verse 3, second bowl, the sea turns to blood. Then the second angel poured out his blood on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. And I thought, wow, how strange. Well, there are certain kinds of algae that cause the sea to turn to a red tide. And when that happens, the marine animals that are under that influence of the red tides, as they call them, will die. The microorganism is very deadly. And actually, there have been more and more, progressively more of these happening. And then the waters turned to blood. Then the angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power is given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Well, the sun is moving into a solar cycle of increased solar storms, and that will peak in the year 2012. And these storms send out huge magnetic ejections like fireballs into space, and when they hit the earth, they their electromagnetic fields are disrupted, telecommunications have been disrupted, power grids will go down, all kinds of things will be affected. The fifth bowl. Then the angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, interestingly enough, I was in Turkey last summer in 2007, and the local tour guide told us that the Euphrates River for the past 10 years has been drying up. That has been drying up. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And this, what, while I was listening to these scriptures and I was asking the Lord, okay, this, I saw this night vision, and I saw the warriors beginning, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon, or the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I saw the young warrior. I knew that cultures were disintegrating, and the sea was turned to blood. But while I'm listening to these scriptures, I was very interested that God said in Revelation 16, in two places, that men blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. And then further down, that was the sun scorching, and then in the darkness, they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. And the Lord just started speaking to me about the judgments were designed. God has the power over these to cause men to repent, that he is looking for them to repent. And these kind of plagues, like it says here, the sea was blood. It was turned to blood. God judged these saints because they shed the blood of the saints and prophets. So God gives them blood to drink. There's a direct correlation between the judgments of God and the sins that are perpetrated against the servants of God and the saints of the Most High, and therefore against God himself. And why he's punitively dealing with men and women on the earth and children, and what their response is. And they continue to blaspheme God who has power, and they did not return and repent. I was then taken to like Romans 9:18. I thought, wow, what's happening? This is like the plagues in Revelation parallel the plagues in when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Each plague was a judgment on the gods that they worshipped. And so he gave them what they worshipped. He gave them their just deserts, so to speak. And in Revelation, it's saying here that he is giving them judgments according to their sins against him. In Romans 9:18, it says, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he's hardening. And he's talking about Moses, when he was bringing them out from under the house of bondage and out of Egypt. And he says in verse 15, he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, For this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Well, I'm looking at Revelation 16, and then looking at the seventh bowl or plague that was poured out, and it was a great, well, I'll read it. Revelation 16, verse 17, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from this throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And here's where I thought, wow, civilization is going to disintegrate. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone was about the weight of a talent. That's about somewhere around 90 pounds or so. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. And then one of the angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." So this same judgment that came on Pharaoh, this harlot is going to, this is part of the judgments that were happening because of the harlot, the great whore, the religious system that drank the blood of the saints and the prophets. And God is going to use, just like Pharaoh, God used Pharaoh to bring forth his purposes and his hand, his mighty hand of deliverance. In Jeremiah 25:5, it says, "They said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." And here the Lord is saying, repent of your evil ways. Don't go into, it's the idolatry that you are going, you're going after other gods, you're worshiping the things that your hands have made, idols. And you're not listening to me, and you're provoking me to anger, and you are bringing judgment to your own hurt. You are bringing the judgments, and God sent them. You know, and in Ezekiel 14:6, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all of the your abominations." And in Ezekiel 13:30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel," or any land that God initiated, "everyone according to his way, says the Lord God, repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin." See, iniquity is a ruin. It will ruin. Judgments will bring you ruin. "Cast away from all you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore turn and live." So repentance is about living. Repentance is about living in God. And so here I am, I'm mulling all this over in my mind, thinking about this night vision or dream. I think it was a vision in the night. And God is revealing to me that all of these judgments are for their sins. Their direct judgments are for the sins. And that this Babylonian, this scarlet whore, this religious system is the one that causes men and women and children to become corrupted with another idolatrous system that does not hold up who God really is. And then the Lord quickens to me Romans chapter 1, because Rome was at the time of Christ, and the book of Romans really dealt with, it was the apex of the political system over the earth, and it was just a den of absolute vile, debauched corruption where the Caesar was to be worshipped. He called himself God. And so Romans talks about the culture, and of course that Paul is addressing the culture at this time, but it says in Daniel and other places that there will be a revived Roman Empire in the last days. So the very structure of the political religious structure that was in place at the time of Christ that killed the Lord. Well, we all killed him with our sins. We're all guilty. But that actually, that spirit behind that system that executed him, along with the in hand in glove with the religious system. And so Romans is really quite appropriately a book that addresses what is going on in our culture today for the mere fact that there's nothing new under the sun, it says in Ecclesiastes. And what has been reaped, what has been sown will be reaped. And what is, you know, what goes around comes around. It's all part of that fullness of maturity. And so in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going into a section starting on 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So the Lord says, this is, he's going to describe what the wrath, why God's wrath comes out, why his judgments are executed on the earth. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Well, okay, what has God manifested and what has he shown to them? To men, okay? Well, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here God says, here Paul says, all of creation is, the manifestation of creation is exemplifying the invisible attributes of who God is, that there must be a God who created this. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So they did not attribute this great creation to him, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what happens is a their thinking, because they did not acknowledge God, became compromised, and they could not reason correctly, and then their hearts became darkened. And professing to be wise, they became fools. So all of men's wisdom is foolishness without the acknowledgement of God and his creation. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So here God says they're making idols out of their hands, and they're degrading the God of the universe into these idolatrous the creations. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. So their depravity, they became more and more dark in their thinking and in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So here he's saying that there is this decline into darkness, this sliding into darkness, not only in their thinking but in their hearts, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here he's talking about they came into the deception that they thought they could know God and create their own gods and worship gods out of their own hands and their own thinking, and they became futile in their thinking. They became darkened in their hearts. For this reason, then, God gave them up to vile passions. Okay, so then they become lustful in their primitive natures. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So here God is talking about, instead of a natural heterosexual relationship, men with men, women, they exchanged their nature in something that is against nature, he teaches here. And it's men burning in lust for men. And women also. So he's addressing lesbianism and homosexuality. And when this happens, when homosexuality and lesbianism happens, and the defiling or degrading of this, it's because there's been some kind of idolatry here. Because God says that it is this reason they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship the creature rather than the creator, and then God gives them up to these vile passions. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so even as they didn't want to, in their mind, acknowledge that God is who he says he is, he's the creator, and all of creation shows who his attributes, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in the next three verses to describe things which are not fitting according to God. And here is what they are. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practices the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? So here Paul goes on to say that these people, they have judges in their courts who are judging people according to a standard, and that they are actually guilty of doing the same thing, and that God, they will not escape the judgment of God. They will not escape the judgment of God. And in the scriptures that I read earlier, it said that the judgments of God are the judgments of God are plagues and acts of nature, because God is releasing his attributes and his discipline through these kind of things. These kind of acts of God is exactly what they are, to bring men, to give them their just desert of what they have been sowing in their lives. let's conclude with this scripture here from Revelation 9:20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their theft. And hence, God brought even more severe discipline and judgments and bowls of wrath. So we can praise God that if we know Him and we know the riches of His mercy and His kindness, and that we bear fruits of repentance in our life, then like Moses, who brought the children of Israel out from the plagues of Egypt, Yeshua, our Savior, will bring us out from the mystery harlot Babylonian, come out of her, and we will come out of her and we will be delivered, because lest we share in her sins and thereby share in her judgments. So we must come out of that idolatrous religious political system. We cannot serve it. We must serve only God, and He will deliver us and give us the grace and bring us through, and we will be a testimony of His glory. Be faithful. Keep God close to your heart and worship Him and bear fruits of repentance. Father, we thank You for Your kindness and Your mercy, for Your tender-hearted, loving compassion towards us, that while we were sinners, You yet died for us. And Father, if anyone hears this message and any of these sins have come and they have been tested or tempted in these areas, or they have partaken in this in any way, that Your Holy Spirit would reach into their hearts with the compassion of God and compel them, beckon them to come to You, and to come to You and say, God, I'm sorry, I have fallen short of Your glory. And I recognize that You sent Your Son, Yeshua. He was the Son of God, He was the Lord of the universe. He became a man. He became flesh. And He died for my sins as a perfect sacrificial offering to take my place in death. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive my wickedness and my unrighteousness. Oh God, forgive me. I am so sorry. Come and cleanse me with the life blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. And Lord, You will be my Lord. I will serve You. I will put off my former ways. I will die and be raised in resurrection power by Your Ruach HaKodesh. Lord, I ask for the precious Holy Spirit to come and fill me full of power and to be able to withstand the pressures and the testings and the judgments of this day, and that I will not be ruled by the flesh, but be ruled by the living Spirit of God. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your kindness and Your mercy to me. In Yeshua's holy name. Now, Father, whoever receives and confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord shall be saved. And so, Father, I pray that people would be touched, that they would come and become into the regeneration, that Yeshua HaMashiach would become their Savior, and that You would continue to do Your mighty work until Your return. In Yeshua's name. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, KD Pearl Ministries, website www.kdpirlministries.org. Please feel free to make CDs or DVDs of these teachings, to copy them and share them with others. Be very blessed. Oh, and give credit where credit's due. And Father, we do thank you that all glory and honor and power belong to you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Goodbye now.